According to the Apostle Paul, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Dr. James W. Brueggemann is a longtime Bible student who strives to bring the truly good news of Jesus Christ to all through Stone Kingdom Ministries. We invite you to discover the many resources at stone-kingdom.net. For a printed sample of Dr. Brueggemann's monthly publication, Feed My Sheep, and a copy of our catalog and other materials, write to Stone Kingdom Ministries, Post Office Box 5695, Asheville, North Carolina, zip code 28813. It is only through your generous support that this ministry continues. Thank you for sustaining us. And now, from our 2018 Feast of Trumpets Bible Conference, held September 7th through 9th in Branson, Missouri, here is Dr. James Brueggemann.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. It is September 7th, 2018, as I record this lecture. We are here in Branson, Missouri, for our 2018 Autumn Bible Conference. It is so pleasing to see such a nice crowd here. As you know, it turned out that we are here on the weekend on which the Feast of Trumpets falls this year, as opposed to what we would normally be doing is having it somewhere near the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll see what God has in store for having us meet on the Feast of Trumpets this weekend. I think we're going to see some very interesting things, and I will address that more in my second lecture this morning. So the Feast of Trumpets, technically it begins on Sunday evening, according to the Hebrew calendar. And in Hebrew, the Feast of Trumpets is called Rosh Hashanah, which literally means the head of the year. In other words, on the Hebrew civil calendar, it's New Year's Day. We are in the middle of what is turning out, as expected, to be a lengthy series of studies concerning the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I alerted my CD ministry audience last time that I might pause that series so that I could bring forth one or more lectures on topics that seem to be more needy for the present time. And so that's what I'm doing here this weekend. This is technically not part of the Kingdom of God series, and yet, as you will see, it could very easily be part of it because it also concerns the kingdom. In December of 2016, I concluded my lengthy series entitled Mystery Babylon and the Stone Kingdom. But then in the very next month, January of 17, I added an addendum lecture. Despite the great length of the series, it was evident throughout the series that there were many individual topics which could have been expanded upon in much greater detail. Many topics, and I said so at the time. One that comes to mind immediately is the section on witchcraft and mind control. That ended up being a mere 5 lectures long. But there were 3 or 4 subsections of that topic which could easily have been 10 or 20 lectures each. I've continued to study that topic of witchcraft and mind control since that time, and I will return from time to time to supplement the Mystery Babylon series with more addenda lectures on witchcraft and mind control, and perhaps other topics as well that arose during the course of that series. What I intend to present to you this morning can also be considered addenda lectures to the Mystery Babylon series. So that makes this lecture number 68 in the series. And if I didn't say it already, I have 2 complete sets of the 68 lectures on my literature table in the back, as well as through volume 6, I think we are, in the Kingdom of God series. What I intend to cover today can best be introduced by the title that I've chosen, which is How God Defeats Mystery Babylon, subtitled, And How We Might Be Involved. This is part one. You see, during the course of that massive study, I felt that while I had a pretty good understanding based on the scriptures of how our deliverance would come, there was at least one area, one particular array of scriptures which really puzzled me. I felt that I had been given to understand part of the answer to that conundrum, but not completely. I'm certain that I still do not have the complete answer, and the entire answer will probably not be made manifest to anyone until after we are delivered from our national bondage to Mystery Babylon. And then with perfect hindsight, we can exclaim, similar to what the Apostle Peter did on the day of Pentecost, we can go, aha, this is that. Remember Peter? This is that which the prophet Joel said. And we can turn around and look after our deliverance and say, oh, now I see how it all fits together. That's what I think will happen. At this juncture then, recognizing that my understanding is incomplete, I am pleased, sorta, that my life circumstances and my coming across the work of a certain individual has brought me, I believe, to a greater understanding of how this conundrum can be solved. Or at least there are now more pieces to the puzzle which can be fitted into the picture. This array or collection of scriptures which form the conundrum are not found all in one place or even in one book of the Bible. But we will begin in Daniel chapter 12, if you want to turn there, please. How many of you folks are still using hard copies of the Bible? Very good. Nothing wrong with the digital. I personally continue to use my hard copy as well as the digital form. As I began to prepare this lecture, I first reviewed my 8-page synopses of all the lectures in the entire series of Mystery Babylon and the Stone Kingdom, and I brought along a few copies of the synopses, which are back on the table. It's 8 pages long, just giving a thumbnail sketch of each of the lectures. So you can take one of those if you wish. I see somebody in the back going like this. You having trouble hearing me? Okay. Just reading those synopses, I'm guessing that I addressed the issue of our deliverance in approximately 21 of the 67 lectures. So I began a couple of weeks ago searching through all 67 lectures to find some of the places where I had addressed the matter of our deliverance. So first, let me begin to set forth the puzzle and my partial understanding at that point several years ago. Then I will show and explain what has been added to my understanding since then. The conundrum can be set forth very simply and very briefly. It is this. As our captivity is coming to an end, and as the mystery Babylonian system is coming down, what are we to do? Are we to actively be doing something, or are we to be passive, to simply sit and observe from the sidelines? And if we are to be doing something, then specifically, what could or what should we be doing? Now for some scriptures which, taken together, present that conundrum. Daniel 12, verse 7. And I heard the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, concerning this passage and all the Bible passages that I'm going to lay out in regards to the conundrum, I want you to understand that this lecture will be a bit different from my normal modus operandi. How is it different? Simply in the fact that I will not be going into detail to explain to you the comments, conclusions that I will make about them, because I've already covered that in the extended series of Mystery Babylon and the Stone Kingdom. So if you want all the details, many of us do, you can help yourself to the Mystery Babylon series over there. I didn't mean they're free, but we've got to cover our costs. Now, my purpose here then is to present these passages simply to illustrate the conundrum and then to add the new understanding that's come my way. The point made in this passage in verse 7 is that our power, the power of the holy people, has been scattered. In other words, we are in captivity and we have seemingly become helpless to do anything about it. Fortunately for us, the American people, for the past century, God has politically and spiritually blinded the eyes of almost everyone in Christian America to this fact of our bondage to Mystery Babylon. I say that this blindness is fortunate because if the masses had been aware of it, many more people would have been killed trying to resist and throw off the captivity before its time. Of course, there have always been a few that have realized this captivity during the past century, and they paid the price. Men like Charles Lindbergh. I believe that President John Kennedy, he had his faults, of course, but I believe he was trying to restore honest money and to remove the power of the Federal Reserve System and the CIA. And I believe that is one reason he was assassinated. There are many other threads to the story of the Kennedy family, which I covered in detail in the series. Next, let us turn to Micah chapter 4. This particular passage will encapsulate the conundrum in a nutshell. We looked at the entire chapter in great detail during the series, so we're just focusing on the puzzle here. Micah 4, beginning in verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. The phrases daughter of Zion and daughter of Jerusalem are prophetic terms which speak of the Israel nations in the end of this age. This age, which includes approximately the last 400 years. I say the Israel nations, of which there are many, but specifically, I believe this prophecy applies above all to America, because we are the land of regathered Israel. This is the new Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. I mean, after all, God went, hint, hint, I put the letters USA in the word New Jerusalem. So Micah prophesied that the kingdom of heaven came to us here in the USA, and then in verse 9, what happens? Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. It was a gradual occurrence. The USA was a Christian nation. Jesus Christ was our king. He was also our counselor. The efforts of the tares to destroy the Christian religion were very sly and very small at first, but then as they succeeded, they got more bold and more bold until the last 40, 50, 60 years. They succeeded in taking the Bible out of our public schools. They became more bold over the decades until today. We have the courts in this land spitting in the face of God by declaring all sorts of abominations are okay, such as what constitutes marriage. End time Israel is likened to a woman in the labor of childbirth. The pains become more intense and the contractions get closer and closer together. Verse 10, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord, or Yahweh, shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. This is very figurative and symbolic language, of course, one of the languages of Bible prophecy. End time Israel, the woman in travail, goes out of the city of New Jerusalem, and we have done that. We have left Jesus behind in our national polity, our institutions, our society. We've left him behind. And what does this woman do, end time Israel? She dwells in the field and goes to Babylon. What's the field symbolically? The world. In other words, we're being brought down to be just like all the other heathen nations, aren't we? That looks like what's happening. So she dwells in the field and goes to Babylon, not to the old city of Babylon, of course, but we are dwelling under the secret rulership of the mystery Babylonians right here in the USA. And there, in mystery Babylon, here, while we're under the secret rulership of the Babylonians, that is when and where we shall be delivered. I think the word delivered there has a dual purpose or meaning. It is referring to our deliverance from the national bondage, but it also would seem to refer to the woman, national Christian Israel, being delivered of the man-child. In this context, the man-child refers to that very small percentage of all Christians throughout the ages who are predestinated to be in the first resurrection. They are called overcomers in the book of Revelation. Many in our circles also know them as the barley company, as opposed to the wheat company. And they, the overcomers, constitute this man-child who will rule and reign with Christ during the millennial kingdom upon the earth. In contrast, the evangelical churches today, by and large, are awaiting the so-called rapture of all believers. But it is not all believers who are resurrected and or changed into glorious incorruptible bodies at this first resurrection. It is only the overcomers, a very small percentage. It is what the Apostle Paul called the high calling, that for which he was striving, and for which we also seek to attain. Anyhow, the point is that it seems from verse 10 that our deliverance is all the Lord's doing. It says, there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Based on this verse, then, it appears that we could be doing the same thing as our fellow Christians in the evangelical churches who are just sitting passively, just waiting for the Lord to rapture them out of this mess. But for we who understand that we are in captivity, that there is no rapture as they understand it, but that we will be delivered, do we really just sit around and wait for the Lord to do all the work? Let us see as we continue. Verse 11, now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. Many nations hate the United States. And yet it's so ironic, isn't it? They all want to come here. Let the USA be defiled. That is, let Christianity be destroyed and let all sorts of heathen wickedness abound in the land. 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Now listen to this. Shall we remain seated? Verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto Yahweh, unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. That is a command to end time Christian Israel. We are instructed to arise and thresh, which seems to countermand the idea that verse 10 seemed to imply. Let's look at a few more passages with similar commands. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52, please. In the very first of the 67 lectures of the Mystery Babylon series, I told the audience that while some of the studies to come in the series would be dark and seemingly negative, especially while we would explore our current situation as God's Israel people and how we came to be in this predicament, that before the first lecture was brought to a close, I didn't want them to be discouraged and leave them without hope. So that right out of the gate, I was going to give them assurance of our deliverance. And later in the series, I would develop that theme and put meat on the bones. So I began here in Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall come no more For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. So even though it's morning, it's not right after lunch, just to see if you all are awake, would you repeat with me the first two words of that phrase, please? Awake, awake. That indicates that whoever is being spoken to here has been asleep, doesn't it? I cannot find anywhere that this prophecy has been fulfilled in history, least of all in regards to the old city of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem it is referring to, of course, is the one called New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. The perfected manifestation of New Jerusalem is still future, but I believe the fulfillment of these verses is very near. Zion, again, is a prophetic name for end-time Israel. End-time Zion is us, spelled U.S., the USA, the land of regathered and Christianized Israel. There's more. Speaking to us, verse 2 says, shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down. Huh. Arise and sit down. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. O captive daughter of Zion. This shows that end time Israel will be in captivity. It also indicates that Israel has been asleep, unaware that she is even in captivity, speaking broadly. Hence, the world ruling empire is a mystery to almost everyone. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon the Great. We notice that it says arise and sit down. Although that sounds passive, there's no getting away from the rest of the very active commands in the rest of the verse. Shake thyself, arise, loose thyself. This shows that we are to play an active role in removing ourselves from this captivity. Keep your bookmark here We'll come back to it in a minute, but let us now turn to the book of the prophet Zechariah. If you find the Gospel of Matthew, go backwards, Malachi, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 2. This will tell us very clearly that we are not to simply be passive spectators in the process of our deliverance. Zechariah 2, beginning in verse 6. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. Verse 7. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Now, if the term daughter of Zion and daughter of Jerusalem refer to end-time Israel, does it not make sense that the daughter of Babylon would refer to end-time Babylon? Of course. And that entity, we have noted, is called a mystery, Mystery Babylon. And it would remain a mystery to the masses until the time comes for its unmasking. And from all indications, that time has now come. And I will add meat to that bone later. In verse 7 here, again, there's no question about what it is commanding. Deliver thyself. Now back to Isaiah 52, verse 2, where I want to suggest a possibility concerning the seeming contradictory commands to shake thyself, arise, loose thyself, juxtaposed with the command to sit down. And actually, there are two ways I will suggest that we can reconcile the seeming conundrum. The first I have already laid out in the Mystery Babylon series, and the second is the new piece of the puzzle, new to me, that is. In fact, the first explanation to at least part of the conundrum is itself broken into two parts. If that sounds a bit confusing, not to worry. I think you'll see what I mean as we proceed. So today, this morning, in what I expect will be, or in fact is now, I know for sure, the first of a two-part study, we shall see what the conundrum is and how I dealt with it in the Mystery Babylon series, which, again, I remind you, concluded in December of 2016, just as Donald Trump had been elected president, which is, I think, very significant in this regard. You have just seen how in the very first lecture of the Mystery Babylon series, I showed the assurance we have that we shall be delivered from this captivity. 66 lectures later, we are back in the prophecies of Isaiah to formally conclude the series. Only this time, it's in Isaiah chapter 10, if you would turn there, please. And I will reiterate this from the close of the series, because it explains the first of the two ways that I can see how the conundrum can be reconciled. The conundrum. Do we rise up and fight, or do we sit and watch? Oh, and I do want to make sure that I get this stated clearly in this lecture, that regardless of everything else, the Scripture is abundantly clear from the pen of the Apostle Paul that, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Young men who become aware of our loss of freedoms are especially vulnerable to follow the temptation to think that they must rise up with physical weapons and try to, whatever, restore the Constitution, run the rascals out of the country, however one might phrase it. But if these zealous but naive idealists will reassess our situation in light of Scripture, as I have done in great detail, especially in regard to our parallels today with the ancient Babylonian captivity as found in the book of Jeremiah, then they might come to realize that attempting to throw off our shackles before its time is suicide. Furthermore, they will realize that even when the time has come for the captivity to end, that to think we shall rise up with carnal weapons and run the rascals out of the country is frankly equally suicidal and misguided. My long study of the pertinent scriptures on this matter throughout the Mystery Babylon series has convinced me that God has a phenomenal plan for bringing about our deliverance. Our Father is even at the present moment putting all the ducks in a row for the execution of that plan. And I use that figure of speech deliberately and fully cognizant of the grievous tragedy of the duck boat accident that occurred in Branson, Missouri on July 19th. I was stunned when I first saw the news because I just knew in my spirit immediately it had to be connected spiritually with our upcoming Bible conference to be held at the Chateau on the Lake the weekend of September 7th to 9th. This tragedy happened right here on Table Rock Lake, which the very lake you can see out of your hotel room windows. There's much more by way of signs following, which I will share in part two. I was stating how our Father is putting all the ducks in a row for the triumphal execution of His deliverance plan. In fact, to pick up on what Father showed our brother Ron Oja, is Ron in here? He's doing lecture prep, for sure. Okay. What our Father showed our brother Ron Oja way back in the 1990s, that we are in fact seeing before our very eyes how our Father is now playing His Donald Trump card. More on that later. Here is part of my conclusion to the Mystery Babylon series, not verbatim, but amended for this lecture. How many of you have read the masterful novel by Charles Dickens called A Tale of Two Cities? Saw the movie. All right. Pop quiz, Bob. Who's Madame Defarge? Never mind. Teasing. Just
the bad lady in
Paris. You know. Okay. I believe you. It was about the two cities of London and Paris at the time of the horrifying French Revolution. In this series, we have also been studying A Tale of Two Cities, a true tale from the pen of your Heavenly Father. The two cities are Mystery Babylon the Great and the New Jerusalem, also known as the Stone Kingdom, also known as God's Kingdom. I believe the opening line in Dickens' novel was this: it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. For those of us blessed to live in America and other Israel nations of the first world, does that not apply to us? Those of us alive today are witnessing the conflict between these two cities, the conflict where they intertwine like a DNA spiral, rising to a culmination point, the climax of history on a grand scale. And the last thing I would want to do would be to close this series on Mystery Babylon on a note of despair. So please understand this. These lectures have been my attempt to show you how God has had this whole thing planned from the very beginning. And I have taught you history all along the way as the proof that what was prophesied in the scriptures has indeed come to pass. And that therefore we can have faith and assurance that the final chapter will also take place just as the Father has planned it. I know it looks dark. Do not despair. It must continue to get worse and worse until we have absolutely no human way out. And then comes our deliverance. It's going to be a real trial of our faith. Our need to pray in these increasingly dark times cannot be overstated. Referring to Daniel 12, verse 7, the power of the holy people has indeed been scattered. The future looks increasingly bleak and dark. Unless we understand prophecy and God's plan for our deliverance. Let us turn once again to Isaiah chapter 10. This has become one of the key passages for the entire Mystery Babylon series because I believe it gives us the prophetic blueprint of our deliverance. I've expounded on it several times before, but as we conclude the series, I now want to add a bit more that perhaps will give you comfort and faith that we shall be delivered. Notice now, as we begin in verse 24, Isaiah 10, verse 24, that it speaks of our twofold manner of deliverance, i.e., that which happened at the time of Gideon and that which occurred at the time of Moses, leading the children of Israel in the Exodus through the Red Sea. Isaiah 10:24, therefore thus saith the Lord God, or the Lord Yahweh of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. Verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So I believe we have a double deliverance being described and prophesied here. This speaks of the two prophetic companies of Christians, known symbolically as the Wheat Company and the Barley Company. The Wheat Company is represented by Moses and the Red Sea deliverance. The Barley Company represents that tiny remnant who are called to be overcomers. They are associated with Gideon and his band, I always want to say, and his merry band of 300. I don't know how merry they were at the time, but at the time of our deliverance, these living overcomers will be translated instantaneously into incorruptible and immortal bodies. Leave that thread dangling for a moment. The Wheat Company is the vast majority of Christians who will not be awarded immortality at that time. They will eventually die and await their resurrection at the general resurrection at the Great White Throne in Revelation 20. However, the Wheat Company Christians who are alive will be delivered through the symbolic Red Sea. How? I do not know the exact details, of course, but I do believe it will be by means of the divine intervention of Jesus and the overcomers. Look at verse 27 once again. We are under the yoke of Esau Edom via Mystery Babylon, just as was prophesied in Genesis 27, verse 40, a prophecy concerning which I spent many lectures showing its fulfillment in the past two centuries. So here in Isaiah 10:27, it says that the yoke shall be destroyed and we shall be delivered because of the anointing. I believe that word anointing refers to Jesus because he is the firstborn and firstborn anointed one. He is the Christ, and the word Christ means anointed. But remember also that in the resurrection, we shall be like him. We are his younger brethren. So therefore, those of the Gideon company, the overcomer company, will become anointed at that time with the fullness of the Holy Spirit enabling them with Jesus Christ to deliver the wheat company, the majority of the church, the Christian believers who are not overcomers. And that is why we read in Obadiah verse 21 about saviors, plural. In speaking about the doom of Esau, Edom, it says in Obadiah 21, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's," or "the kingdom shall be Yahweh's." I believe that the word saviors, plural, there in Obadiah verse 21, refers to Jesus the King, along with the resurrected and presently living overcomers who will come forth here in the USA, Mount Zion, to judge the mount, or the kingdom, of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's. Now please turn to Daniel chapter 7, and this is another key verse that could be seen as part of the conundrum, because there's one word in this verse which can go both ways. You'll see what I mean. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." For many years, I often puzzled over that verse because the word translated to take could also equally be translated to receive. So which is it, I wondered? Because if it means to take, then it sounds like the saints need to go to war and take the kingdom from the Antichrist. But if it means to receive, then it calls for the saints to be submissive and passive and patient. "And we shall be given." We shall receive the kingdom. Do you see the conundrum? Now, I see, of course, it is both. The saints who are the overcomers will take the kingdom from Esau, Edom. But again, that will be done supernaturally, not with physical weapons. Again, the pattern is Gideon. They had trumpets and pitchers of light. The various factions of the Antichrist destroy each other. That is how the barley overcomer saints will take the kingdom. Now turn to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. As we turn our attention to the wheat company, the non-overcomer saints, as the hour of our deliverance comes ever closer, things will get so bad that it will look as though the wheat company, are absolutely trapped at the edge of the Red Sea. There appears to be no escape, and, quote-unquote, Pharaoh's armies are approaching to utterly destroy them. At that precise hour, what are they told to do by God through Moses? Exodus 14, 13. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." And so that is the dual manner of our deliverance. But just before this divine deliverance, I believe that this verse from Jeremiah 49, verse 7, will have its ultimate fulfillment also. Jeremiah 49, verse 7. "Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished?" Rhetorical question. The obvious answer is yes. At that time, yes. Teman was a grandson of Esau, Edom, because he was the son of Eliphaz. Remember that guy? Yes. His name means, "My God is fine gold." It represents the money power. Financial Mystery Babylon, which I explored in superabundant detail in the series. The children of Teman, or Esau, Edom, have been very brilliant, diabolically clever, and strategically wise in controlling all nations by means of their secret control over the money system. Money systems, we should say. But God says here, there will come a day when their wisdom vanishes. As a result, their whole system will collapse. Perhaps they think they're planning it to collapse to replace it with something else, but at the right time, it's going to collapse and it will spiral out of their control. Meanwhile, the people will be momentarily freed from the economic captivity, but shortly thereafter, figurative Pharaoh, Red Esau, financial mystery Babylon, will attempt to bring us back under their captivity and control. That is when Moses says, "Fear not and stand still." That is when Christ and the overcomers arrive on the scene and take the kingdom, and the wheat company receives the kingdom. That is when the metaphorical Red Sea will open up and the wheat company will cross through into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Now please go to Daniel 2, and I want us to look at what became the flagship passage for the entire series of Mystery Babylon and the Stone Kingdom. Daniel 2. I want us to look at verse 45. We'll start there. "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." In other words, this is where Daniel is addressing Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he says, "O king of Babylon, the dream that you saw is true, and my interpretation of it is from God. It also is as certain to come to pass, just as sure as the sun rises every morning." And my friends, if you believe the history that I just read to you in that verse, then my dear brothers and sisters, you too can be certain that we shall be delivered. But Mystery Babylon does not collapse and fall until the stone smashes the feet, correct? And then the whole system of man's tyrannical governments comes to an end, and the stone kingdom of King Jesus the Christ commences in its fullness. But go back and look at verse 34. It says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." The clay represents Israel. Jeremiah, the potter and the clay, right? Represents Israel. And the iron represented the Roman Empire, both pagan Rome and papal Rome. And my friends, there are scores of millions of Roman Catholics in America. And I, like probably many of you, I was born and raised as a Roman Catholic. So when the stone smacks the image on its feet, who is getting smashed and smacked? Christian Israel. So then, remembering a few minutes ago how I mentioned that before our deliverance comes, the power of the holy people will be scattered. Remember that? The meaning of the Hebrew word for scattered is literally to dash to pieces. Ouch! Are you feeling some of that? Therefore, does it not make sense that even while the United States, the corporate entity, which is controlled by Mystery Babylon, has the greatest military force on the planet, that the actual power of the holy people, the Christian Israel people in America, is virtually nil. Does that make sense? I think so. And if the stone is smashing the feet, and we are part of the feet, then who is smashing us, and who is scattering our power? Well, the overcomers are not yet immortal, are they? Therefore, at this time, the only stone is Christ. Christ has been bringing all this upon us so that we will come to a point where we nationally will implement 2 Chronicles 7:14. In brief, to repent. And you know why I am encouraged? Because now I see in football games 2 Chronicles 7:14 instead of John 3:16 so much. The word's getting out. 7:14. But soon, I believe, the first resurrection will occur. The smashing will culminate in the fall of Mystery Babylon, and the overcomer company with Christ as our head will be the saviors who appear on Mount Zion to deliver Israel through the metaphorical Red Sea. And from Revelation 11:15, then the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So that was how I concluded the entire series of Mystery Babylon and the Stone Kingdom, showing how the deliverance is essentially passive for the wheat company. They receive the kingdom. But for the barley company, and I would say that for the present time, those of us who understand the difference and are aspiring to be in the barley company, that for the barley company, the deliverance is active. We are to awake, arise, shake off the dust, arise and thresh, etc. But that work is not carnal, but it is according to the story of Gideon, done with trumpets and lamps and pitchers. And in part two of this series, this pair, I will show you some new understanding of our deliverance, which does not conflict to what I've just presented, but which adds another dimension, as it were, to understand how our deliverance and how we, as aspiring overcomers, can take an active role. Many of us are already doing it. But I want to share with you exactly how it fits in the overall pattern of deliverance. I think you will be blessed. Meantime, I hope that this message has been a blessing to you. Thank you.
Amen. We hope you've enjoyed the preceding audio presentation produced by Stone Kingdom Ministries. It is only through your generous support that this ministry continues. Thank you for sustaining us. For a sample copy of our publication and a catalog of available resources, write to Stone Kingdom Ministries, Post Office Box 5695, Asheville, North Carolina, zip code 28813. You may also visit us online at stone-kingdom.net.